Good morning, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're broadcasting live today from the History Museum at the Castle in downtown Appleton, Wisconsin. And we are here because Leonardo da Vinci's Machines in Motion exhibit is here, and I want to remind you that it's currently on display, and it runs through January 6th, and it's well worth seeing. It's just fascinating to look at what he was able to invent when it comes to scientific inventions and, of course, a phenomenal artist. So it's an interactive exhibit, and it features 40 operational actual-size working machine replicas of Da Vinci's amazing machines, so it's worth a visit. One of the areas that we have spent hours and hours and hours discussing the last couple of years is the American economy, what's happened to American jobs, the outsourcing of American jobs, whether or not we have too much emphasis on college education in this country and we need to look more at technical schools and trades and get young people to get interested in trades. Is there indeed a shortage of skilled workers? Are manufacturers in this country saying that that's a problem, or is that not a problem? What kinds of jobs might be available that we just don't have people trained for? We're going to be talking about all of this. It's an important issue, and we're happy to have three very knowledgeable guests with us this hour. Bob Ellenbecker is a welding metal fabrication instructor at Fox Valley Technical College. Bob, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
How long have you taught this?
7 years.
7 years. And is it a big field? Are you getting a lot of students in this area because there are jobs in the area?
Yes. Yes. We've hired new instructors every year for those 7 years, and we're in the process of hiring another one. So. Very, very busy.
Yeah, good. I'm going to ask you to move just a little closer to your microphone. Warren Long is also here, Senior Principal Supplier Development Engineer at Oshkosh Corporation. Thank you, Warren, very much for being with us. Is it fair to say that you're the largest employer in the area?
We're certainly one of the largest employers. We're the fifth largest publicly traded company in the state of Wisconsin.
And what do you do?
So we manufacture specialty vehicles. We make things from fire trucks to military vehicles to access equipment to construction equipment, concrete mixers, and refuse collection vehicles.
Mm-hmm. And you, in the last couple of years, have really seen business boom in terms of military contracting, right?
Yes, yeah, certainly. We were certainly boosted through the recession tied to a couple of very large military contracts. And we're really seeing JLG side of the business start to pick up now. And with housing starts coming back, we're seeing concrete mixers having a nice boost as well.
Mm-hmm. Also joining us is Justin Knight. Justin is a student at Fox Valley Technical College. Thank you, Justin, for being with us. And what are you studying?
I'm in the welding production program, actually in Bob's class, matter of fact.
Is he a good student, Bob?
Yes.
And now he'll forever be a good student. Tell me, is this the narrative, is it true or not, that there are jobs available in this country, but we just don't have people who are skilled enough to fill those jobs? Is that true?
Yes, I would say it's true. It's a skills gap.
Would everybody agree there's a skills gap?
Yeah, there's something like 600,000 open manufacturing jobs in the U.S. today, and estimates vary because there's no consolidated resource for manufacturers to say what jobs they all have available.
600,000 manufacturing jobs.
Yes.
That's a lot. Have you noticed, Justin, you must because you went back to school to pick up this knowledge in welding, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my story's a little different. I've done mostly food service as far as employment goes. I went to school in Houston before I moved here. That's where I was born, in Texas. I went to school for nursing there. I was a nursing assistant. So that's a skilled trade as well, and I saw that there was a need for that. So when I moved up here to Oshkosh, actually live in Oshkosh, I saw that it was really industrial. There's a lot of a lot of industry jobs, and I didn't have a skill in that area. It's way out of my comfort zone, so I decided to go for metal fabrication and welding, to learn something new.
That's a big thing to go to something way out of your comfort
right.
zone, isn't it?
It's a big leap, yeah.
Yes, it is a big leap.
I'm used to not as much manual labor, play music. So from music to welding is kind of a jump.
I've also read that you are artistic, so you might be able to use some of your welding experience for your art, right?
Indeed. Yeah. I've found it's helping as far as the measurements and, you know, the symmetry and more of the cosmetics of the welding part
right.
is what kind of my brain attaches to the easiest.
So what happened here? Did we raise a whole generation, if not more than this generation, of young people and told them the only way you're going to get ahead is to go to a college to learn the liberal arts, whatever the area might be in college, and we have not paid enough attention to technical education, and thus people just didn't go because they were told essentially not to?
I feel that's part of it, yes. The other part, in the early 90s, a lot of middle schools and high schools actually did away with their industrial arts programs.
Yes.
They call it tech ed now, but there's many high schools that do not even offer that as a career option for young people. So if they're not shown that as an option, they're not going to make that choice, yes or no, to pursue that.
What do they put in place of tech ed?
In many cases, it was computer labs, which were needed. I'm not saying it was a bad idea, but so computer labs and other things. So that's part of the problem that I saw in the early 90s. And so it's actually good for us at the technical college level because then the folks come to us. But in many cases, they may go into other career fields and then decide they either didn't like it or they can't make enough money to support their family with a four-year degree in whatever the discipline would be.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that we kind of forsook technical education, Warren?
Well, I think another key part of it is perceptions around manufacturing. So really a lot has changed in manufacturing in the last, call it 20 to 30 years, but perceptions haven't come along with it. So many people today still think manufacturing is a dark, dirty, dangerous sort of industry, and that's just not true. It's not representative of what manufacturing is today. But given that the general perception has not come along with it, you don't see people interested in manufacturing as a career.
Mm-hmm. Justin, what do you think? You're a young guy who is close to this.
I think there's been kind of a stigma attached to technical or community college. At least in Houston, I haven't really been here quite long enough to kind of feel that out. This is a big college. Well, Oshkosh, you know, you have UWO there. So I think that going to community college or technical college wasn't really put in on the same pedestal as going to, like, a university when people were coming up in the last couple of generations. I'm 28, so I could include myself. My parents didn't really speak of technical college too much. So I think that a lot of people, young people, are shying away from tech colleges and community colleges because they don't think it's going to get them where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it has a lot to do with the person's individual needs and desires as far as career goes. You know, I don't think it's any worse or better. Just a personal decision, you know.
Would you be pretty much assured, Bob, if you went to the program that Justin is going through in other manufacturing areas in technical college to get a job that would pay $40,000 to $50,000 a year when you got out?
Well, that's definitely doable. That's the upper end, you know, starting pay. You know, it could be in the 30-35 range. It just depends on the company. But certainly the jobs are there, and our placement rates show that. So, yes.
And when you compare that with a lot of young people, and I know many of them who are college graduates who are working in areas outside their field and having to do a couple jobs to make ends meet.
Yes.
That's quite something, isn't it? I guess the other thing that we're operating under is the idea that there aren't any jobs, that all our jobs have been shipped to China or to Southeast Asia because the labor is a lot cheaper and they're never coming back here and you just need to find some other way to get by. I guess I'm getting an indication from all of you that there still are jobs here. Is there a segment of work that's being done in the United States that we can believe will be here 10 years from now and 20 years from now and won't be in China?
I think there's a big misnomer around manufacturing in that the cost, when you look at the cost of goods sold, labor often makes up less than 10% of the cost of a given manufactured product. So even if you're able to cut that labor cost in half, it's often more than made up for in logistics if we're shipping it from, you know, halfway across the world. So, you know, you look at that, and then you also take into account that today, cost, quality, and delivery are kind of the key metrics that any business must operate in. But now speed has become a much more prevalent requirement of business. And to support customers' requirements of having product right now, you need local manufacturers with a local supply base to support that.
Justin, do you worry once you get through with the program that your job may not be here 10 years from now, or do you feel pretty comfortable, pretty stable?
I'm still feeling it out, I guess. I know slim to nothing about that industry.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen a lot of people that are getting jobs in manufacturing. Whether I can gauge it as to where I think it'll be gone in 10 years, I'm not sure. I would hope not, but that's kind of why I went into the medical field in the first place when I was in Houston. But I didn't really like it too much. So, I hope it'll be here in 10 years.
Right. And what about jobs, skills that are needed right now, Warren? What is needed right now?
Well, certainly when I look with our suppliers, we see a big need for press brake operators, skilled machinists, and welders really stand out. But I think in general, across the skilled trades, maybe Bob can speak to this more, you see gaps in any sort of area where skilled trades or skilled trade schools support. So diesel technicians, truck drivers, mm-hmm. Any sort of mechanics, any of those skilled trades are really seeing gaps of enough people to backfill as generations are starting to retire.
Hmm. Do you want to add to that, Bob?
And that's exactly correct. Our college has expanded. We just passed a $60 million referendum to expand the college in many areas. So, yeah,
really?
That's huge for taxpayers
to
approve that type of expenditure. And so it's going across all areas, and it is a technical college. So everything that we do really is a technical-related discipline. So certainly the welding, the fabricating, which we're close to, is a big part of all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
I'm wondering if you will take people who work for Oshkosh, take students to this exhibit, because there's something about the Da Vinci had his mind in all of this. He created things. He created machines, for heaven's sake, and the importance of machines in that time, that flourishing time in world history, the Renaissance, for heaven's sake. Will you tie into this exhibit somehow? Because it's directly related to what all of you do.
Well, I guess seeing part of the exhibit before the show was very interesting. Justin and I walked around a little bit, and we were both going, wow, this
mm-hmm.
is pretty cool. So
yeah, it is pretty cool.
Yeah. And to just think about what he did back then without any of the tools we have available. We have computer-controlled equipment. We have CAD. We have all kinds of neat stuff. So, the invention, I think, is that discipline or that passion needs to be sparked up again. So I think it would be good to show that to our students. I guess I got to figure out the logistics.
Right. I think it would be.
It'd certainly be good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anybody else on that? Or no?
I think that's a key part of it. We need to do things like that, again, to change people's perception, get them excited and engaged in making things, which really is what manufacturing is. So I think this can play a key part.
Yes. The other thing that caught my attention, and this is one of these things in my life I was always kind of mad about. I'm pretty old now, so when I went to high school, the girls went to home ec and the boys went to shop. And I was not very good at home ec. I don't like to cook very much, and I hate, but it's true. I would have been much better in shop, much better in shop. And to hear that shop is gone is really disheartening to me. These are skills that, first of all, they place societal importance on learning these kind of skills as a human being. But number two, of course you're going to have problems getting people in tech school if you don't even teach it in high school. What's up with that?
When I was in high school, it was called small engine repair. You could go to that class. And my brother is 21. He lives in Texas. And he went to the same high school and said that they don't offer the small engine repair anymore there. So I don't know what's up with that.
Bob?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the decision was made by society or board of education or whoever decided. And at the time, maybe it was right, maybe it wasn't, but that's what happened. But you know, speaking to your comment about girls went to home ec and the guys went to shop class, just yesterday and today I've been communicating with some local high schools, and we've been doing an event called Girl Tech.
Really?
And what that is we bring in middle school girls, and it's all-girl class, and we expose them to shop-related things. So at least they get an idea of this is available, and maybe we spark some interest. So what we're thinking of doing in this particular case is we're going to do a one-day event in January to generate interest, possibly for a week-long event in the summer or late spring. So, you know, we talked about this the other day and with the high school. So it's something that is out there. People are aware of it. And, you know, we need to just pursue it and make it happen.
Is there a great disparity between men and women when it comes to the number of people in the field?
Yes. Yes. I've had, in the 7 years, I've had one female student.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
My class. The other classes, I think we've had a total of maybe four. So it's a small percentage, and it's not, there's no basis for it. I think it is just
a
matter of if they're not given the opportunity to choose that career path, or they think it's a male-dominated profession. It's not true.
Wow, that is just astounding. And, I'm amazed.
And females actually make better welders. They have better hand-eye coordination. So.
Well, where are you going to go to find your spouse, too, right? I mean, you go to school to find your mate. We need a balance of men and women. All right, let's invite our audience to be a part of this conversation. Here in Appleton, we'd love to hear from you, and also by phone, where we have tons of people calling in. Our phone number is different just for today, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. And, of course, those of you who are here at the History Museum at the Castle in Appleton, we'd love to hear from you and our audience as well. We have three guests with us today. Justin Knight is a student at Fox Valley Technical College. Warren Long is Senior Principal Supplier Development Engineer at Oshkosh Corporation, one of the largest employers here in the Fox Valley. And Bob Ellenbecker, Welding Metal Fabrication Instructor at Fox Valley Technical College. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, broadcasting live on this Thursday from the History Museum at the Castle. We want to remind you, one of the reasons that we are here is because this fabulous exhibit is taking place on Leonardo da Vinci. It's Machines in Motion, and it's well worth seeing. It's 40 machines. They're actual size working machine replicas of Da Vinci's amazing machines. He was just such an extraordinary human being. And it's a big exhibit here at the museum, History Museum in downtown Appleton. So, but we're talking also about manufacturing and whether or not there's a skills gap, how we get well-trained workers to this part of the country. Do we need to reinvent ourselves, which is something that we'll get into a little bit later, the importance of technical education, all of that, and we're going to go to our audience here first, and then we have a ton of phone calls.
Hi, Marcia from Nina. I wish I could have taken shop, too.
Do you? Right.
Bob, so you're not getting girls. Are you seeing a lot more middle-aged people who are coming back for retraining because they've lost their jobs, people in their 40s and 50s?
Yes, we are. The average age for the college-wide, not just welding, of our students is around 30-something. Mm-hmm. So my class right now that I have 14 students. I've got students from 18 to 44 and in between. So it is a diverse mix of ages. In years past, we've had several large companies close up or move out, so we have displaced worker training. And sometimes those classes were a little more heavy with the older student. But I think that it's a great mix. I would rather have that than a whole class full of 18-year-olds. No offense, but the younger students tend to partner up with the older students, which is kind of a unique observation because they just seem to do that on their own. And I watch them develop over that 1 year period, and it's interesting. So
we all need mentors in our lives,
yes,
don't we?
Yes.
We all need them. Thank you. Yes, hi.
Good morning. My name is Bryce. I'm from Fremont, and I have more of a comment than a question here. I recently retired from Fox Valley Tech after nearly 34 years teaching out there, and this program is very, very pleasant surprise here to be here. I would certainly agree with the comments that have been made that there certainly is a skills gap, and there's also this stereotype image. You know, the question before about only one female in the welding program, you could probably reverse that and look at how many males are in the nursing program type of thing.
Yes, right.
And I know over the years that I was at the tech, I went out and talked to a great number of high school students. Initially, I started out in the food service management program. And the image that is very, very slow to modify is that image of the Voki tech, and that we're not high tech, and that this is an alternative. If you can't get to university, now you might as well go to the technical college. And that is so obsolete that there is so much high tech and high level skills that are necessary in these programs today that it's just absolutely unreal. And we have the open houses and so on, that the image, I think, is starting to change. But I can recall even talking with some high school counselors in the area, and they basically had never even heard of Fox Valley Tech, let alone recommending their students to come here. So, I applaud the program here this morning, and certainly just my support for the tech and the great wealth of information. And, they just even got a 737 donated from UPS, I believe it was. So, they got a lot of good things going on up there.
Yeah, very, very nice. And there is a great deal to be said for all of us learning a skill, isn't there? I mean, you could talk about revamping the whole way we go about educating and learn how to weld or learn food service management or learn some kind of skill so you can always be employed. It was just a thought that came to mind. All right, let's go to some phone calls. 800-642-1234 is the number. 800-642-1234. And let's start with John in Brown Deer. Hi, John.
Good morning. Well, my grade school principal pointed me in the direction of what was called Boys Tech. I spent 40 years in the tool-making industry. It was a wonderful career, and I'm very thankful to the man. Now, you have mentioned about the cost, why school districts do not have more technical courses. The cost of equipping a machine shop, whether it be wood or metal, is very, very high. The cost of milling machines, grinders, and lathes, and things like that, and all the equipment that goes with it is a very large expenditure. And plus the need for instructors to keep the students safe. Industrial style environments
schools inherently to deal with some of that cost, Warren. Is that an answer to the cost problem?
Well, I think it needs to be, because when you look at some of those industries, to really staff tech ed correctly, you need CNC equipment and brand new welding, and a lot of it is very expensive. So even if it's industry donating equipment that's 10, 15 years old that they're ready to move on to the new technology, that would still be an upgrade for most tech ed programs in the local area. So I think we need to see more of that from local industry to really support their local programs so that the education that these students get isn't on equipment that's from 50, 60 years ago.
We have a very generous agreement with Miller Electric. They support our college, and every 3 years we get brand new welding equipment.
Oh, nice.
And when we built our new facility in Oshkosh, they stepped forward and donated just shy of $1 million of other equipment.
Wonderful.
As a donation. Here you go. Thank you. We have their name on our sign, so we have a great relationship with Miller Electric.
Yeah.
They do support us.
It's nice to hear from somebody like John who spent a satisfying 40 years in his trade. That's good to hear. Yes.
Hi, I'm Sue, and I just want to make a general comment. I'm familiar with NWTC in Green Bay, and over the last 4 or 5 years, they have women's introductory courses they offer free, and I've taken advantage of that, and I've taken a welding class, and I know how dirty it is, and I know how you know, strenuous and measurements and so forth. And then there was a blueprint class, how to read blueprints, and I also took an introductory to woodworking and built a shelf, and also pursued that more and took an introductory to masonry class, and so I built a flower.
Great. That's
so
great.
I have I'm knowing working with my hands. I said, gee, I wish I would have known this about in high school. I probably would have went to Tech route.
Yeah.
Start building my house if you want. I'll help you.
No, very nice. Let's go next to Jane and Marinette. Hi, Jane.
Good morning. I don't doubt your speakers in the least, but there are some high schools that do offer excellent tech ed programs. Marinette High School has partnered up so that they offer enough classes that a young person can graduate high school with a welding certificate or with a certified nursing assistant certificate. They're working with local industries to make sure that the people who get out of high school are either well prepared to enter the VocTech programs or to get jobs in industry as well as to be college prep.
So why would some school districts have good tech programs and some wouldn't? Warren?
Well, I think she said it there. So this is really a national crisis, but to a great extent it's handled at the local level. So you do have satellites where you look at Brilliant and their partnership with Aaron's. Plymouth has a great program with local businesses. There's a good program down in Hartford. There are satellites where they've got great local partnerships, great equipment to train on, and they're getting the good pipeline of students to go into those sort of roles. But we need more people to step up in more communities to really address it at the national level.
And what about the national level and also the state level? In my mind, I think that monies for tech colleges have been cut. I've heard that in the last round of budget in the state of Wisconsin. Is that true? Has that affected you? Is there any kind of national effort and national programs that are giving you direct help to address this significant problem in the country?
Yes, we have opportunities where the college can apply for grant money through different channels, and we've directly received some of that money for our program. Where just last year we were able to purchase a press brake for about $50,000, which was part of a grant that we had received. And so there's actually staff at the college. That's their main focus of their job, is to write and apply for grants to offset some of the funding that has been lost. So, yes.
Okay. Yes.
Hi, my name is Jan from Nina, and I have a comment and a question. The comment is, I belong to the American Association of University Women, and we sponsor scholarships both at the university level and to Fox Valley Tech, and I don't know that everybody knows that. So that we do sponsor that for both institutions. There's a wonderful program on Wisconsin Public Television recently about the 100-year anniversary for MATC and the change in the way the perception of that college is, as well as new programs that are there now. And it's just astounding. And I would assume that Fox Valley Tech is in the same league. My question is, returning veterans or veterans out in the field, are they aware of partnerships and programs available for training? Because I know of some veterans who feel, I may as well re-up, there are no jobs here. Would you address that?
Well, I know there are circumstances where veterans can receive free training when they return. And I haven't heard that they are saying there's no jobs, but there is a skills gap, which we talked about. I've had several veterans, Afghan, Iraq War veterans, return and come through our program, and it's certainly a privilege to have them as a student. Personally, I'll say that. So I think, I haven't heard of anybody saying that they you know, were going to sign up again because they couldn't get a job. So I'm not sure how to address that, you know, if I answered your question correctly.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to know, AAUW, if you just look up the website, I'm sure those for those scholarships that are available, that's good to know about.
Yeah.
Right? Is that the way to access those?
Yes, it is. If you just look up AAUW.org, and there's also a component for each state and each chapter in each state.
All right, great. Anybody else in the audience, let Brett know that you want to speak. We're going to go back to phone calls. Our number, again, is 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. And let us go to Daryl in Exonia next. Hi, Daryl.
How you doing? I think, you know, you're talking about the skills gap, and, you know, I have always said lately that I think colleges are obsolete because of the internet has changed the world, and there's a lot of training. If there's something you really want to learn, you can figure it out online, but if, when you apply for a job, you know, they'll say, well, you didn't go to school for that, and it's like, I live on a farm, and I wanted to weld. I bought a welder. I went to the library, and I can weld, but if I apply for a job, they say, well, you don't have any schooling in this, so, you know, even though I know I can probably weld as good as anybody I know. And I think the internet has changed the way people should look at training. You don't need to necessarily go sit in a classroom. And even on in yesterday's Wall Street Journal, there was an article on these even music teachers. The one guy's teaching guitar lessons to 1,400 people at a time at $40 a pop. And, you know, I think that's the future, that there's going to be more you can learn, but some people have to recognize that you do have it, maybe give you a test when you apply for a job or something.
Don't you think there's something to be said for wise teachers?
Email the guy and say, I have a question for you, you know.
Okay, all right. Can you learn all of this by yourself?
I think so.
You know, and I think what I would add is that one of the great things, especially with Voltech schools, is that it is so hands-on. So it's not something you can necessarily learn over the internet, per se. And similarly with universities, if you're pursuing a four-year or greater degree, there's a lot of partnerships with local industry and kids going into engineering, for example, would do projects with local manufacturers to fulfill a current need that they have. So some of that great hands-on experience is, I think, a key part to any learning.
Justin, what do you think?
That if I tried to learn what I'm learning in Bob's class online, no, I'd probably, I don't know, I might end up in the hospital.
Right. Yes.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
I'm Betty.
Hi, Betty.
And I have a question for you. Do you think it would be easy for us, since they want to go and try to change the education system a little bit, to teach the kids what's the jobs for the future, if they would at least bring the technical portion into the school system? Maybe the first 2 years, the freshman, sophomore year, do the basic of technical portions of technicians and all, and then the junior and the senior year, take and do the intermediate portion, and then maybe they'll be ready for college, and maybe that would take the kids' mind off of dropping out of school, and that'll combat dropping out of school and take them immediately into what they are interested in and putting them in the workforce. Do you think that would be feasible for the nation?
I think, as one of the callers mentioned earlier, that the expense is a huge part of, you know, re-equipping a college, or excuse me, a high school who may have gotten rid of their tech ed or industrial arts program because the cost is huge. Is it feasible? I think we can't afford not to do it. That's my opinion. To have the kids in middle school and high school exposed to that other option. I know for myself, I didn't like any of my high school classes except for shop classes.
Really?
I was not interested. I was not engaged. I passed. I graduated. But my passion is mechanical, welding. So I think we need to do that. I think the high schools that are teaching it, in many cases, I've heard that their class sizes are 30 to 32 students per one instructor, which is about double what our class sizes are. It's very difficult, in my opinion, to manage that and teach with that large class size. So it's an economic question. And again, I'll repeat myself. I don't think we can afford not to do it. But, you know, that's a local question, a school board question. So I think we should do it. So I think that's what you're saying. Keep them in school.
We're going to welcome more phone calls. We have a lot of people on the line who want to address this topic, and we'll continue our conversation. We're broadcasting today from Appleton, Wisconsin. We don't get here very often. We're at the History Museum at the Castle, where there is a Leonardo da Vinci Machines in Motion exhibit, which we want to tell you runs through January 6th, and it kind of ties into what we're talking about this hour as well, because not only was he an extraordinary artist, he was also a scientist, and he was an engineer, so his amazing machines, all built by modern-day scientists and artisans, according to his famous drawings of all of this, are here on display, and that's why we're here. We have three guests with us this hour to talk about the skills gap, to talk about technical education, jobs that are available in the United States right now, and whether or not we have the workforce with the skills to take on those jobs. Our guests are Justin Knight, a student at Fox Valley Technical College, Warren Long, Senior Principal Supplier Development Engineer at Oshkosh Corporation, and Bob Ellenbecker, who's Welding Metal Fabrication Instructor at Fox Valley Technical College. More phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Returning to your phone calls now, let's take as many as we can here. Bob in Eau Claire. Hi, Bob.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You were talking about the image of the technical college system and how it's maybe kind of seems inferior. And my comment is that one of the reasons why is that all the instructors in the high schools and even the administrators at the technical colleges have been university trained. That's their experience and that's their background. They have a hard time, I think, looking at the technical and industrial side of things and seeing the worth that truly is there. I remember my students that we were graduating from our program in the technical area were sought after in industry. And if you take a look around, you know, 20 years later, here they are practically running these industries in our area. And these all come from the technical college.
Bob, where did you teach?
I taught at the Wisconsin Union Technical College in Rice Lake, and I taught in the telecommunications area.
Oh, great. Warren, you want to respond to that?
Well, I think Bob would argue with not having a background on the technical side, but I think at the high school level there is perhaps some truth to that, that teachers aren't necessarily going into industry, getting some experience, relevant experience, before they go and teach our students. So, again, when you have predominant perceptions of something like manufacturing that might be from 1970, 1980, they don't know better per se. And so it is great to have the right background and be able to provide students the experience of what manufacturing really is today.
Mm-hmm. When we were talking about finding a passion, which is a terrific thing, you mentioned that, Bob, earlier. You knew what you wanted to do. You knew what was of interest to you. How did you get guided along to find the right way to be educated in the area that coincided with your passion?
Many of my fond memories were of my shop teachers in high school.
Mm.
I was in a co-op program for automotive. That was my first career field. And my shop teacher really trained us on not only repairing vehicles, but how to keep a job in your senior year. Because if you didn't keep the job, you didn't get the 3 credits. I wouldn't have graduated. So he taught us how to really work in a service station or a body shop or whatever jobs that he lined up for us. And my welding teacher, you know, several of my friends, we still talk about our welding shop teacher and the memories we had of him. And I find myself actually repeating some of the same phrases that he used to say.
And I love it.
It's kind of cool because we talk about it and it's like it's still relevant. So.
Right.
To be guided along, I mean, certainly it's the parents, you know, to help guide the career path of their children. It's educators to help as well. So I think there's many avenues for that guidance.
Justin, what about you? You've been in a couple. You're a young guy, and you've been in several different areas. Is that okay for you, or do you wish that you had picked one when you were in high school so you wouldn't have spent time in the nursing area and discovered you didn't like it?
Yeah, I wish I could have got famous in high school, you know, and just blew up and had a lot of record sales. I think it was just kind of finding what suited me, what I like to do. I'm 28. I'm pretty young. I haven't had a lot of jobs. I mean, I've done some food service stuff, waiter, cook, car hop at Sonic, assistant manager. Then I got into the nursing. I worked at a few nursing homes. I never could get into a hospital. They wanted a year experience, but I was like fresh out of community college. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's just kind of getting my feet wet and finding out what's good for me, I guess.
So is it true that you still really want to be a rock star or a musician?
Yeah, that's no secret.
That's no secret. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's okay.
That's my dream job. But I figured, that's not really Avenue A. That can kind of be my fallback.
Right.
Your
avocation.
Be under a hood during the day and then go on the weekend and play a gig somewhere.
That sounds like a good life. Yeah, that's all right. In our audience, yeah.
Hi, my name's Rosella, and being a returning student, I found that even though it was intimidating, being kind of an old school person, I found that trying different things has applied to my art. And even though it didn't really connect with the art, it actually did. So the person that called and said, he could build a house on his own, I think that going back to school and learning new things, you can apply that to your profession, even though you feel like you know it all. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yes, I agree. Let's go to, where are we? Pam in Burlington. Hi, Pam.
Hi, this is Pam.
Hi.
I am a Gateway Technical College teacher, instructor, and we have a program we're quite proud of in southeastern Wisconsin. It's a dual enrollment program where I teach Gateway classes at a local high school. So the students get the college credit and the job training while they're still juniors and seniors. And I teach in IT, so it's security, networking, programming. But we also have two other programs that I'm not as familiar with. I know we have two shop floors, a bunch of Fanuc robots. It's quite an excellent program. I wish it was done more around the state.
Are you doing like transcripted credit?
No, it's not even transcripted, although we have that also. They are Gateway Technical College students while they're attending. It's regular Gateway class. It's just at their high school during the day.
Okay. That's a great program. I think our college does similar things, articulated agreements, transcripted credit. So we do some things like that in welding where we do transcripted credit, but it's not a direct transfer into an associate program. So similar options. But I think that is great. I think we need more agreements, partnerships, collaborations, whatever term we want to use, with high schools and the technical colleges. I think that's a great opportunity.
Yeah. Let's spend a little bit of time, Warren, let me direct this to you, on the issue of outsourcing, which it's our understanding that it's a huge issue right now. And I'm wondering what would behoove a company, a corporation like Oshkosh to do all of your get all of your supplies, do all your hiring in this area. I would like for you to look at the area of wages and whether or not it's difficult for companies to stay here because of high wages, if it is a philosophy of the company that you would like to get your skills, your hires, your work done. Is there something that's beneficial to have your work done in this area rather than overseas? Can you take on that whole very large issue?
Yeah, it's very large. So some of that
is
dictated by our customers. So we serve the U.S. military, and a lot of that requires that procure parts from inside the United States. Mm. But, the United States might have one of the higher costs of labor, but they also have the greatest productivity. So really, again, if you're shipping product from very far away, those logistics costs far outweigh the benefit you're getting in labor when, again, most of the products we see are under 10-15% cost of labor. So I think there's really a misnomer about outsourcing jobs. I think in reality, a lot of what it is companies looking for international business, looking to grow their business. Similar to here in the United States, we need close at home manufacturers and a supply base. If we're going to do business in Asia, we also need a local manufacturing facility and local suppliers there as well. So I think in general, it's a key part of any large OEM to have a local supply base to support their manufacturing requirements.
Mm-hmm. And what would it take, do you think, for those companies that have gone to China, and many have, or other places, to bring them home again?
Well, again, I think a lot of that is serving a local market. But China and other countries, cost of labor continue to increase. We're seeing more and more jobs come back to the United States. But a lot of products that we work with at Oshkosh, they're not products that can easily stack together and ship efficiently. You'd ship a lot of air if you ship them, product from China, for instance.
Right.
And so it would not make sense to air freight such a product. And if you need it with reasonable speed, like we often do, it just can't be supported without a local supply base.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Dylan in Oshkosh. Hi, Dylan.
Yeah, Dylan, you want to talk?
All right, Dylan. Sorry, chance is over. Let's go to Timothy in Osseo. Hi, Timothy.
Hi, good afternoon. I've been working in the trades for approximately 30 years, and my hat's off to all of you who've gone on to other things, which I'm doing now. In my generation, we actually had apprenticeship programs dealing right from high school because my father worked in trades, my grandfather worked in trades, and I'd like my son to work in trades because he's very good with his hands. Unfortunately, they don't have that available. Is there, would I get him into a technical college program immediately, or do companies still offer those nowadays? Because I haven't seen them much. I know that my company does not, and as a matter of fact, it's kind of disbanding. That's why I'm moving on to a different field venue. Any suggestions?
All right, Bob.
Well, certainly it would be a good idea to start with a base of training, whether it's a one-year or two-year program. But the apprenticeships are given out by a company, as you know. So, and I agree, the companies are reducing the amount of apprentices they're putting on. So we do teach the apprenticeship the disciplines in our college, the welding, the pipe fitting, and things like that. So the companies send their pre-apprentices or their journeyman workers back to our college for training. But it's really up to, you know, XYZ company to put on an apprentice, and usually they want someone with a little bit of training. So really it's up to the individual if they want to go to a tech college first or seek out an employer and get a pre-apprentice appointment.
How much, give me this in 30 seconds if you can, how much on-the-job training is there now? And should there be more?
For apprenticeships?
For anything. Are companies hiring people and say, we'll train you?
Some. I know we did some work with Oshkosh Corp in years past where we trained people who didn't know how to weld with their internal mentors. And then when they were done at our school, the internal mentors continued to train them, and it was quite successful. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a bit of it. But if companies have a choice, I think they'd rather have someone hitting the ground running.
Right. Well, this has been fascinating. Thank you all so much for being with us. It was a beautiful setting, and we learned a lot, and phenomenal interest all over the state in this. We had a lot of people who are very familiar with technical education calling in, and interest in the audience as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Bob Ellenbecker, who is welding metal fabrication instructor at Fox Valley Technical College, Warren Long, senior principal supplier development engineer at Oshkosh Corporation, and Justin Knight, student at Fox Valley Technical College.
That's my teacher.
Bob is your teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And you're a good student.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I guess now I am.
I guess now you are. You're on the spot. Thanks. We've been broadcasting live today from the History Museum at the Castle, and it's in downtown Appleton. Please, before January 6th, come in and see and be inspired by Leonardo da Vinci's Machines in Motion. It's a huge exhibit, and you can then read more about the life of Leonardo da Vinci and And that's good. It's a good thing to do. So that's going on now. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Brett Jaspers, who produced this program. Brittany DeAnda was our engineer. Thanks to Ellen Clark, Katie Madsen, Cheryl Gasser, Dave Potraz, Mary Peterson, Kathy Voigt, Terry Bergen, and the staff at the History Museum at the Castle. Thanks for listening. We'll be with you again on Monday.